Radio.com.
Behold the king. The king of kings. There is only one.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, Wrestle Talk Radio.
The King of Kings goes back on his throne.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have won it all, and I have beaten them all.
Omega.
Lita, wait, I was hoping you could give me some advice on tonight. I know you have a lot of experience taking on five guys at once.
Mace.
I don't care if I gotta take off this suit, strip down to my tidy whities, get a broomstick in this ring, I'll wrestle a broomstick for 2 hours. Hell, I've wrestled a lot of the guys in that parking lot. The broomstick will give me a better match than most of them.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Let's get ready to sucker!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Unlike all of you, the authority always wins. And that is best for business.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, where it is apparently Triple H Appreciation Night on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, it is. Or this was an idea we had like 3 weeks ago that I finally got around to doing because I did the intro this week. Because, you know, you guys kept saying, Triple H always opens up Raw. He always opens up Raw. So it's going to be a Triple H, you know, style intro.
Complete with the theme song he never used.
Sort of. He used it once, I think.
That whole album is full of songs that got used maybe one time.
Yeah, well, you know.
So, I am the Omega, the be-all, end-all, and very exhausted of the Wild Talk Radio Network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Yes, I am here. I am not exhausted, and I'm not creating Twitter controversy by posting up Bionicles.
My fucking feed exploded.
I have no idea why. I just heard you complaining about it.
Oh, my God. I did one Lego video, and half the response was like, okay, when are you doing Bionicle? It's like, I've never bought one. I don't have any opinion on Bionicle. Shut the fuck up, you fanboys.
Well, you knew this going into your little Minecraft Lego video that you were opening yourself up to this type of shit.
Not this, because Bionicle was dead until this year.
So if anyone would like to donate to them to TJ Omega, he is accepting all donations right now.
No.
You know what the stupid thing is? I'm quite sure there is somebody who's already sent Omega something that they're already getting to send him a Bionicle.
No. Of all the things people have sent me hoping to get my opinion on them, no. It's never been a Bionicle. This is the first one I've ever owned. It was bought for a purpose. And it was bought because... I don't know. There's part of me that took pity on it because it was the only one at the grocery store. Like, I never saw my grocery store stock any Bionicle. You know, they had, like, the previous line, which was, like, Hero Factory. But Bionicle just restarted this year, and I don't know. It's like, they literally, like, for the last four trips to that grocery store, they've had that one, and I've never seen any others there. It's literally like they only got one.
They expected it not to sell, but then you bought it.
What? Because I felt bad for the thing at that point. I've bought toys because it just, like, I felt bad for it because it was just, I found one toy from, like, Transformers Energon a good 2 years after Energon wasn't sold anymore. And, like, literally at the very back of a shelf at a Toys R Us with a box beaten to hell. I'm like, oh, no one loved you. Okay,
so toy retailers in Florida, make sure that your toys look as pathetic as possible and only leave one on the shelf and make them will buy it.
Well, here's the thing. I say I felt bad for the toy. I did a plastic addict on it.
Ah, good boy.
I bought the toy and then ripped it.
And smashed it with a hammer, hopefully.
No, that's a strict rule with me. No destruction. Because if I dislike a toy so much that I'm going to break it, then it should be donated, or it should be passed along to someone who doesn't have any toys.
There's also resale value.
Not for the stuff I review, Rock. Someone would have to want this shit. I have literally reviewed toys that were like $20 on the shelf, and you can't get $5 for them on eBay now.
You need to...
I've reviewed shit. I have shit for review. Okay, get this. Back when Transformers was the first time Transformers tried to do their Lego ripoffs.
Yeah.
The first series didn't do so well, but they had already started making the follow-up series for the next year. Well, just to see if it would work, because they did a lot of tweaking and they actually improved a lot of it, they sold which ones they had made in a test market. Cincinnati, Ohio. One city, one country. This is the only release this toy line had.
Mm-hmm.
So we blame Spug.
When I bought mine, it was unopened, completely new, in box, half of the retail price. This is like freakishly rare toy, but no one wanted it for any reason whatsoever.
Interesting.
It's something I get a lot. It's something I have to remind people a lot, is that no matter how, like, because people think rarity is king when it comes to, like, collectibles. Mm-hmm. Like, the rarer it is, the more valuable it is, Superman number one and such. No. Because I've got rare as hell shit, but nobody wants it, so you can't get any money for it. It's demand. Demand is king.
So, yes, that's collecting 101 from Omega this week.
Welcome to Otaku Talk Live.
I'm sure if Rock scrams around, you'd find the intro, we could restart.
No.
No, okay.
I'm happy to leave it there.
Sweet. How about we go into our nice little win-fail as usual for this edition of Wrestle Talk Radio?
By the way, you'll notice the distinct lack of Canadian.
Yeah. That's why this is going to sound probably half dead. Because there's no Tim, so we're just going, whatever.
Yeah, there's one Tim, and I've been up since 3:30 in the morning. So we got like one and a half people here right now.
Pretty much. So we'll try and keep on format, but we might do an abridged format tonight. We might be going very quickly so Omega can go and get some sleep before he's up for a full 24 hours, which could be very fun. So we might have to play Borderlands after this.
Go to hell.
Damn it. Mind you, speaking of Borderlands, the next DLC has been announced. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
An entire campaign set inside Claptrap's head.
That's going to be such a small space, though.
It's a lot bigger than you realize.
Oh, God.
With running Claptrap commentary throughout the whole game. But anyway.
Does the DLC come with a number for a suicide prevention hotline?
Not that I saw in the trailer.
They need it.
Probably. But anyway, when it comes to wrestling this week, I'll start off with the win for this week because we know Omega needs time to sort of quickly peruse the results from the past week.
There's only one win this week.
Actually, I picked something different. I actually picked the IC title storyline.
Really?
Yeah, like this whole back and forth with the title being stolen from Bad News Barrett and going to, you know, Ambrose has it 1 minute, R-Truth has it the next. Then we got Harper going, gimme. And R-Truth like, yes, sir. And then the inclusion this week right at the end of SmackDown of Daniel Bryan and Stardust to the whole equation was just... I don't know, it's actually making me excited to see an IC title match at WrestleMania for the first time in years.
Well, let's remember, that tended to be a rare thing for a while.
Well, yeah, because the IC title hasn't really been much of a focus on anything for years. And now that they're finally giving it some focus, I'm interested in it again. It's amazing how that works. You give your titles a bit of, you know, storyline, a bit of focus, and make the belt the center of the storyline, and people actually like it. You Mind you, if they could only do that to the US title.
Oh, you're funny.
Yeah, I know. I'm hilarious. But yeah, so that's my win for this week. What about yours, Omega?
Oh, jeez. See, that was a good one. Of course, there's one, like, huge one, but that's in the run sheet, so... rather than that, I'm gonna go with AJ's return.
Ah, yes, the other thing that's in the run sheet.
Is it?
Yeah. Look down near the bottom.
Oh, that's below Medusa?
I don't know, that could be interesting.
Like, I didn't read that far down because I hit Medusa and I'm like, well, there can't be anything after that.
Yes, so AJ Lee's return has been quite good. Well, unless you watch SmackDown.
You actually talk like you watched SmackDown this week.
I did. I woke up yesterday morning, I had nothing to watch, and I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to watch SmackDown. And, yeah. We had a Bella versus AJ match. I didn't even notice which Bella it was. It was probably Nikki. It was a Brie. Okay. I just couldn't care because all I could hear from the commentary was, oh, AJ just doesn't look like herself. She doesn't seem like she has it anymore. So this, that, and I'm like, okay, here comes the burial of AJ so she can leave the company.
If there's someone they're burying, they let her win.
Yeah, but wins and losses don't mean anything in this company anymore. You should know that.
But when someone leaves the company, they still kind of go out of their way to discredit them as much as possible. You know, Mysterio wants out. Let's not use him or mention him in any way.
Yeah, and then have him rock up on House of Hardcore. Yeah. But yeah,
Justin Roberts.
Oh, yeah. And Alberto Del Rio. House of Hardcore. House of guys that have recently been fired by WWE. Especially if you're Mexican. But anyway, so what has caused the AJ return to be a win besides, you know, AJ returning?
AJ returning. Do I need something beyond that? I mean, we've sung the praises of AJ Lee so many times on this show. This is the woman who carried an entire division. This is the best diva they've had since Trish.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. God.
Someone with personality and wrestling talent actually came back.
Yeah, which could be interesting leading into WrestleMania. Maybe. If they have a plan, which it's WWE, they sometimes have a plan, then they don't have a plan. So Rock,
I've heard a plan is very typical.
Yeah, I think it was tag match or something.
Yeah, surprise. Yeah. Biggest wrestling show of the year, we can't have the women's title up for grabs.
Exactly, how dare they? Anyway, we'll move on to the fail. Once again, I'm going to go down the track of Triple H continuing to rip into WCW / the firing and unfiring of Booker T. I am so over this storyline. And it's not just because I'm a WCW fan. It's just I'm sick of Triple H coming out every week and just going, Sting represents WCW. WCW doesn't exist anymore. WCW did everything wrong and we're here, they're not, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? WCW's been dead for over 15 years. It's about time to leave that corpse in the grave, and he could have tried pulling something else out to have a go at Sting about. And with Sting not being there, it just feels like there's going to be no reaction whatsoever. Like, there's no mind games like we're getting with Bray and Undertaker. It's Triple H getting all the shots in, and then at WrestleMania, sure, Sting might get the win, but the entire time, it's been all about Triple H running his mouth and being a dick.
Yeah, there's... And it's weird when it's someone like Sting, and it's the WWE and their track record of repeating history and recycling. Look at an old archive tape. Turn on any Nitro where, when Sting, between the arrival of the fake Sting and Sting's return to actual matches, and just pick a mind game. Have the lights go out and the lights come back on, and there's a crow, just kind of perched on the ring rope. There's a scorpion, spotlight in the ring, something.
Yeah, because here it is, Triple H still tries to tout himself as the cerebral assassin, able to play mind games with his opponents. Well, why don't they go that route? At least it'd be more entertaining.
You'd have to have writers who are capable of writing someone with a mind.
Yeah, I suppose that's asking too much. Stupid, stupid writers. So what about you? What do you got? What grinds your gears this week?
It's grinding my gears. If I'm going to pick anything, I'm trying to find where it was in the results, and I can't even find it because it was so glossed over. It's been the win so many weeks now, I'm kind of going against the Mizdow routine.
Because of the whole commercial deal, or?
The commercial's part of it. Like, adding the juvenile, Miz has a small dick joke. And more or less, this week it was just kind of spinning its wheels. Hang on.
No, I sort of understand what you're getting at.
I literally have to, control F just to find where it took place in the show.
God.
It's so minor at that point.
Like, this week's version of the Mizdow Miz drama was pretty juvenile, I'll agree there. And it just sort of just felt like, we need to find some way to try and make this feel more than it is. Oh, look, let's make penis jokes. That's what's so funny.
It just felt drawn out this week. Miz is still going with the exact same rhetoric of, remember what you were before I met you. Well, that only applies if things are, that only applies if things aren't going well for Mizdow. he's booking commercial gigs, so clearly not. Like, clearly he doesn't need whatever Miz is doing for him at this point. Like, there's no reason he couldn't have just slapped the shit out of Miz right there and actually gotten on with this feud.
So you'd say probably something like being in a tag match, the Miz pushing Miz Dow too far, Miz Dow drops off the apron, starts to walk away, and costs the match?
No. No, I...
Because that's what happened on that Thursday night show.
Hang on.
Yeah, Miz Dow actually had some backbone on Thursday night and sort of went, fuck this, and jumped off the apron while Miz was going for the hot tag and caused the Miz to take the pinfall. So we're getting there. It just seems to be what we're getting on Monday night as compared to what we're getting on Thursday. It's one of these things where you actually have to watch both shows in order to see what's going to happen.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, I know. I think they finally woke up to the idea that SmackDown's supposed to be some sort of like compelling television that you should watch in order to get the full storyline.
Shit. I'm going to have to turn on Thursday nights, aren't I?
Or at least record it and watch it later in the week like I do.
Most weeks I completely forget about SmackDown, and it's harder now because I was so used to Friday, and now I have to remember it's Thursday.
So that's a good thing about Australia, it's still Friday.
Can you? I like the phrasing, that's the good thing about Australia.
Yeah, time differences don't mean shit.
SmackDown on Friday still. Mm-hmm.
No, because now it's only starting like an hour after SmackDown ends in the US. But anyway, so that was our personal wins and fails, but let's get to the universal win for this week. Which, for those of you who didn't catch it, it's probably on YouTube by now.
Oh, yeah.
Jon Stewart rocks up to Raw to confront Seth Rollins, and Seth has pretty much taken the Daily Show set and set it up in the ring and just starts trying to do his own version of the Daily Show. And this is the first time in a long time where you've had a celebrity guest come in, and it was actually amusing.
Yeah.
Which means the WWE writers probably didn't write a goddamn word of it.
Probably not. Probably not. You know, this is such, like, worlds apart. Because, like, normally it's just like, well, who do we have? Who do we have that's in, like, the network umbrella? You know, who do we have that can kind of has, like, kind of a name to them that we can get a little bit of attention? And for some reason, you know, those are idiots to come up with names like Kelly Ripa.
Yeah, because that's someone that everybody's heard of.
Yeah, well, it's totally relevant to the wrestling audience, right? Yeah, and I'm sure their early morning bullshit talk show, you know, I'm sure their audience is going to flock to pro wrestling to see what they do there. And, you know, They put on, like, the dumbest thing in the middle of the ring I've ever fucking seen. And then go back on their show and just make fun of the whole thing. And then you have this Monday, where Jon Stewart, who's actually a huge wrestling fan, absolutely annihilates. It's the one time I can remember an audience that was, like, universally behind a guest.
Yeah, well, it's sort of not hard to be behind him when he kicks Seth Rollins in the nuts. And he the funny thing I had about that, I went back and I watched it. It's not like everybody else doing it and kicking the inside of the thigh, which is the quote-unquote wrestling method. Mm-hmm. He actually kicks Seth in the nuts. And, like, yeah. if he didn't do a full ball kick, he did that little clip kick that, you know, that only just hits your nuts and it's that delayed pain.
Oh,
because Seth went down, and he was down for a while.
Yeah, I saw John's foot like wrap right into the ass crack. Oh, that That went high.
He was kicking field goals. But even before all that, like, even John himself talking about how he was a fan of guys like Bruno Sammartino, Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan, and then going, "You, Seth, are nothing like those people." It's like, well, yeah, no shit. But it was good to see the relevance getting played off.
Yeah.
So,
can we have him back?
I've got a feeling this isn't over.
He's almost unemployed. Can he just, like, can we hire him?
That'd be nice. He could be a new backstage interviewer. Oh, hell, put him on commentary.
Oh, my God.
Sure, start him out on SmackDown and get him to work up from there. He can replace Michael Cole.
Can he write new jokes for the King?
No, actually, he'd probably replace King in that case. God, I could just... Oh, God, the back and forth between JBL and Jon Stewart alone on commentary.
Oh, good Lord.
Vince, we know you like to listen. Book it. Send the checks. You should know the email address by now.
You know, if not, my website does have a PayPal donation button. You can remain anonymous. Just mark it good idea.
Yeah. But yeah, it was just... I was just surprised, like, for the first time in quite a while, we've had a celebrity segment where things were actually good.
Yeah.
And I'm watching SmackDown and everything else, so once again, what the fuck am I drinking? The world is just very fucking boring right now.
Well, it's Jon Stewart, who is legitimately a very funny guy in the first place.
But that's the thing, I never watched The Daily Show.
That doesn't change the fact he's a funny guy. Like, he was a comedian way before he was on The Daily Show.
Yeah, that's true.
And now, and again, like, he's a wrestling fan, so he knows, you know, he knows crowd reaction, he knows, how to speak a promo. It just worked. It's not like, okay, we've had guests that were amusing to watch, like Bob Barker, good. Betty White, funny. John fit in.
Yeah.
He didn't feel forced.
Just as long as they don't go the route of, let's have Jon Stewart versus Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. Because that's the type of thing I'm worried about, is they're going to see this and go, hey, this is really positive. Let's keep going and let's build this into, let's put them in a match. Or let them have representatives or something like that. And it's like, oh.
Jon Stewart is in Randy Orton's corner at WrestleMania.
And then I could see that, and then right at the end, Orton gives Jon Stewart the RKO, just for the fuck of it.
John would mark out like a son of a bitch. There's part of me that's like, okay, on that side, Jon Stewart. Okay, in Seth Rollins' corner, Craig Kilborn. And that's a joke you don't get.
Yeah, pretty much.
That was the first host of The Daily Show.
Okay. Yeah, so Jon Stewart, good segment. Wouldn't mind actually seeing more of it, which is very weird because I was very down on it when it first started. So there's something different when you actually have the writers behind it rather than, I'm going to talk into a mobile phone camera held in goddamn portrait mode.
I hate that. Yeah, it's not a fucking selfie. It's a video.
Yeah, turn your camera sideways, motherfuckers.
And stick it straight up your ass while you're at it.
No, that's what you do with selfies. Along with the selfie stick.
Fucking Tyler Breeze.
Yeah, but his one has cushioning, so it softens the blow.
It's like one of those, like, novelty golf club warmers, except all the way down.
he likes his fluffy shit. I ain't gonna say none.
Like he walks out with that selfie stick wrapped up in fur. He's like, oh my god, he killed a Muppet.
Fozzie, no!
It would have to be like Grover, or someone whose arm was actually long enough to reach them.
It was one of the Meep Meep guys. Meep 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 meep. Yeah, them guys.
Oh my god. Did I ever show you a video? Did I ever show you a video? They were doing like a at a convention, they were doing a voice acting kind of contest where some girl in Linkara are like doing a skit, and whoever's like the contestant is number three in the bit. And the contestant is dressed as one of the Yip Yip aliens.
No, you haven't, so you're going to have to link it to me after the
show. Oh my god.
I'm going to have to watch this now, but for the moment, how about we take a break?
Yeah, sure.
Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to WrestleTalk Radio right here at WildTalkRadio.com. We'll be back right after this short break with more news, notes, and whatever random stuff we decide to segue into right after this.
Pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin', as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's Boots to Asses time!
some of the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a Jonathan!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is adapt. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins down! He just stopped the Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is third generation female superstar Natty Neidhart.
This is Harry Smith. This is Stampede Kid Peter Wilson. You listen to the WTR Sunday night.
Yeah, baby.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game. It's all about the game, and how you play it, all about control. And if you can take it, all about your debt. And if you can pay it, it's all about pain. And who's gonna make it?
And welcome back to Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, where we continue Triple H tribute night with more music that he's probably used once or twice, at least in the outros. So, pretty much coming back to, I don't know, this would be considered good news and bad news, both in the same role. Bill DeMont has gone as the head trainer of NXT and pretty much gone from the WWE in general. He gets replaced by Matt Bloom, otherwise known as Prince Albert. I suppose the reason why is because a few ex-developmental talent recently came out with some very scathing letters based around Bill DeMont's treatment of trainees at the WWE Developmental Center down there in Florida. Basically, lots and lots of name-calling, a lot of homosexual remarks and the like, and also some very bad training techniques.
Those aren't techniques. That's torture.
No, that was like having to do some, like even scoop slams, not doing them properly and stuff like that. It was teaching them incorrect methodology. Mind you, also hearing about the torture session of squats on the top rope while nude.
Yeah.
Which I'm guessing is highly fabricated. I'm guessing it probably hollered people doing it in their underwear.
It might have been to an extreme, but honestly, so much of this shit has been, like, reported from multiple sources that had no connection to each other. Like,
yeah,
honestly,
it wasn't like one group of students. It was multiple students that have been there over multiple years.
Yeah, reporting individually. You know, usually in the form of complaint letters that had the exact same events described.
Yeah, which is sort of hard to go, oh, well, they're just a bunch of guys that were let go and, you know, they're grumpy about it. It's like, okay, this is a lot of guys from different eras all saying the same thing. It's sort of hard to dispute that this shit is not going on.
Yeah. God. Stuff that got to me the most, you know, fine. Okay, someone gets concussed in the ring, and when Bill finds out about it, he's smacking them in the head.
Yeah, that's just wrong. You don't do that type of thing. Like, to a degree, I can understand what having a trainer like Bill is like. I've had trainers like that in the past. I had one, but it was just the way he spoke was, you know, he'd call, you know, most of the chubby guys, you know, fat pig and, you know, stupid girl and all that type of shit. Mind you, this guy was from, like, the Ukraine and had very little English. So what's the first thing you learn? How to swear. But, you know, there's a certain amount of abuse that comes with training, and it sort of goes back to a sort of a real old-school mentality. Not that I'm going to defend anything Bill Demont has done, because, frankly, he went beyond even what the old-school guys would say.
Oh, yeah.
But there is going to be a little bit of, like, I hate to call it hazing, but, you know, that type of thing where you are going to get insulted. You are going to be called, you know, every bad thing under the sun if you fuck up. But, you know, it's just the way that it has been. Yes, we're in a more tolerant society now, supposedly. And, you know, everybody's trying to watch what they say in front of others. But, you know, you take something like this that's being said in a wrestling training center, I'd send most of these guys that have put complaints in, send them to the army. See how long they last there. Because this is, it's almost the same as you get in military training. You know, most of us have heard about the drill instructors that will call you a pansy-ass little faggoty girl. Why? Because you tripped up on a tire. You know, this type of stuff is going to go around. It's still going to happen in today's day and age. But you do have to draw a line somewhere, and I'm glad that the guys have drawn the line with Bill Demont, because it's the way it's been for way too long.
Well, yeah, because this isn't new. Like, we've heard stories about Bill for years, and it's pretty widely known. The guy's a piece of shit. Like, apparently he got results. Apparently WWE liked what they were getting out of him as head trainer. Okay, fine. Horrible human being, though. And what I don't like about it is when you see reports of, well, WWE investigated this and found no wrongdoing. They got multiple letters about the exact same incidents from people that, you know, as far as we know, didn't tell each other to write those letters. You know, crossing multiple years, and they're still going, no, we don't think this happened. They couldn't. I can't believe that this has gone on for that long, and they've gotten those kinds of reports, and they still, like, couldn't find that anything had gone wrong at any point. The only reason they did anything about it now is because they were looking bad. If this has gotten swept under the rug, if it was just one letter that came up and no one else spoke up about it, he'd still be hired. He'd still be the head trainer.
Yeah. If it wasn't the fact that, you know, what was it, three letters came out in the span of 2 days?
Something like that, yeah, not to mention everyone confirming it.
Yeah, everybody confirming it on Twitter and everything else. Yeah, of course, the WWE's feeling pressured that they have to do something now. But in terms of, like, this type of behavior, it's way too common in training.
Yeah.
You know, even Jericho has said, you know, if you think Bill Demont's tough, you should have tried putting up with Stu in the dungeon. But I do understand that they're trying to bring sort of a, I hate to call it a gentler approach, but they're just trying to PC it up a bit.
Well, you have Steamboat in there, and, you know, he comes from the old school, but apparently he's actually a far more nurturing trainer. You know, everyone seemed to like him. You know, that's one thing that the letters also had in common, is going to the other trainers for support and how much they liked the rest of the training staff.
Oh, yeah. See, this is where I wish I had a way to contact the people I know in developmental just to sort of say, hey, can you sort of let me know some shit? leave your names off it, of course. But this is the thing. I can see why they've done it. And the fact that WWE had to be pressured into this role is not... It still doesn't look good for the company.
Oh, no.
You know, here it is for one that they said, oh, yeah, we're going to investigate it, and they quote-unquote investigated by sending one of the guys who wrote a letter into Bill Lamont's own office and had Bill grill him in the office where supposedly he keeps a gun in the drawer because that's going to make people feel fucking safe.
Oh, yeah.
And then, oh, we found nothing wrong. Of course, when you're working with the guy who is being complained about, that's the worst thing you can do. Send the person who's putting in the complaint to the person that they've got the complaint about and get them to do the investigation. But at the end of the day, Bill Demont is gone.
Here's where it looked bad. Is the way they handled it. Obviously, he was... Because Bill, you know, outstanding human being that he is, he wouldn't have left for the good of WWE. You know, as long as he could get away with it, he'd stick around.
Yeah, look, this whole
fuck
thing.
Fuck the reports. Fuck it.
with him leaving though, they try to make it sound like, oh, he's putting up a brave front. He's leaving for the good of the company. Bullshit. Somebody in PR turned around and said, Bill, you have one of two options. You either put out a tweet saying that you're leaving out of respect for the company, or we fucking fire your ass publicly and make this all known.
Well, that's exactly what I don't like about it, though. You know, most of this shit was going on while WWE is putting on a multi-million-dollar anti-bullying campaign. And this guy could have jeopardized the entire company, the entire training system. If that slap had been a little bit harder, or if that scoop slam had been done, you know, the incorrect scoop slam example had actually injured him for real. Someone's going to the hospital because of something Bill did. Whole fucking thing gets shut down. He's an enormous liability, an enormous problem. But WWE made it up to where, well, he's leaving of his own accord because of rumors and such. No. Show some balls and say you fired him for it. You end up looking worse because it looks like you still didn't take any action. I really want to know who loved Bill Demont so much that they protected him to this level for so long that they can't even just come out and say he's fired because he was mistreating the students.
You'd find it would probably be either Vince or Triple H.
See, Triple H I wouldn't see because he's so connected to NXT. That's his project. I don't... If there's something that it was that dangerous to that project, I don't think he would be the one to do it. I don't think he'd be the one to protect him.
Hmm.
Now, old school Vince, probably. You know, out of touch Vince, yeah. That I could see. You know, but Triple H, who's invested everything in the current program, no. If there was a liability that big, no, he wouldn't be protecting it.
Quite possibly. But yeah, but the main thing is he's gone. We have Prince Albert being the head trainer for the time being. Hopefully, it is Steamboat who takes over the full time position, and they hire somebody else as another trainer.
Mm-hmm.
So, who knows? This could be the start of some good changes within developmental.
Here's the thing. A friend of mine went to the NXT show in Columbus. I think it was Columbus. It's the first Ohio show. And we were talking about that the next day, you know, the day that Bill's, you know, air quote. Okay, thank you, Rock. I'm lucky I remember my name right now. But we were talking about this show, and Bill gets shit canned right in between the two, and we were talking about one of the tweets that went out at us was the texts I'm getting from my friends from NXT right now are basically along the lines of "We got Bin Laden levels of emotional release."
Yeah, that's. When that's the reaction, that's most definitely.
Yeah.
That's scary levels of what could have been going on there.
That tells me this runs deeper than even what we heard. You know, for that much excitement in the locker room over someone being fired, I can
That'd
imagine
be like us getting rid of Tim.
You imagine how good NXT is right now. And now the locker room's happy. Now you actually have, sleep deprived brain. Words no work.
Yeah, well, a happy NXT would be a nice little boost on an already great product. It could also mean that we could see guys who are already coming in from, say, big independents with long careers and everything, not having to stay in developmental as long to be adapted to the WWE system. Mm-hmm. Means they get on TV sooner, meaning the product also gets better, and it's better, it's better, it's better, and it's so good that our brains will explode just by hearing the letters NX and T next to each other. That might be overplaying it a little bit.
Maybe.
You overstretch it just a little.
Just a touch.
A little bit.
Yeah. But speaking of it.
You think of how good NXT is now. And now. Fuck. I had the thought in my head, and then as I started the thought, it left again.
It's okay. How about you imagine
how good NXT is now, and now the morale is at an even higher point.
I don't know if you guys covered this yet. Did you discuss who do you think would be the next trainer for the brand?
I mentioned I'd like to see Steamboat go to the head of developmental.
Okay.
But that's about as far as I got.
Okay. Because right now it's Jason Albert's then the interim head trainer of NXT.
Yes, we did mention that.
Okay, I didn't know if you mentioned it.
I think Omega was wanting the sheep that he's counting in his head at the moment.
I wasn't aware. I didn't catch that part. All right. Continue on.
But how about some more good news possible good news for developmental?
Sure.
It seems like a certain Samoa Joe is in negotiations with the WWE right now about signing a deal.
I love how you phrase that. A certain Samoan man who may be named Joe.
Yeah. You know, because you gotta remember, when he gets to the developmental, he might be someone completely different.
MAGA 2.
That average Joe off the street may be signing with the WWE at some point. He is not taking bookings. His last bookings are till the end of April, and then he's told promoters, "I'm not taking anymore."
So a short run in Ring of Honor, followed by a possible trip down to Florida.
That seems to be the case.
I can get Samoa Joe versus Daniel Bryan at some point.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Now, is it something where he's being brought in to be moved up to the main roster, or is he going to be someone like a Rhino who's brought in just to work down in NXT?
I don't think it's going to be something like Rhino, because in that case, we don't even know if there's a signed deal or if he's just working on a by-night basis. You know, we didn't hear about any kind of contract negotiations with him or Kendrick.
So as far as I'm aware, Rhino's on a pay per show basis because he worked House of Hardcore last night.
Yeah, that would do it then.
Yeah. See, I could see Samoa Joe being brought in, but at the same time, I wouldn't want to put him on the main roster.
Right away.
No, oh. Not right away, because they've still got to work out how to connect him to The Rock.
Work out the family tree. Where's the...
He's the third cousin somewhere.
Plus, you also got to wait for Roman Reigns to retire, because, you know, we can only have one Samoan with a decent push at a time.
Well, really, you need him to go to NXT first so he can actually have good matches before being brought up to the main roster.
Yeah.
Let's have Samoa Joe versus Finn Balor and just tear the fucking roof down.
Samoa Joe versus Kenta. Oh, sorry, Hideo Itami.
Joe versus Zayn.
Joe versus Neville.
Joe versus
Kevin Owens. Yeah.
Oh my god, that.
And you know what?
Two big guys beating the shit out of each other.
And you know what? I could see them doing the one-offs where they bring in, like, Cesaro. So you got Joe versus Cesaro.
Oh my god.
And then that would be where you'd put on Joe versus Bryan.
This is the kind of shit, like, you didn't... I really hate to say it because he was a TNA guy for so long, but it really is, like, back to the... Well, this guy from WWE... It's back to the Monday Night War thing when someone jumps ship and you're like, oh, look at all the matches we get now.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, all the matches that we're seeing are all in NXT.
You're not naming WWE matches.
Daniel Bryan, but even then we're saying, no, we want Daniel Bryan to go back to NXT to have the match.
Right, because segueing back to the Columbus show for a second, because apparently they taped that whole show, thought of seeing Cesaro versus Neville. Yeah, that kind of peaks my brain a little bit.
My buddy Sean said
it's much better than Big Show versus Ryback.
Yeah.
Okay. Whoa. Hold it.
What?
Because I actually know someone who's in that crowd.
Okay.
Okay. For starters, yes, Rock, let your brain tingle because he said that was the best match he'd ever seen.
So I've heard.
Yeah. And apparently Ryback and Big Show actually put on a good match.
Oh, yeah, I heard it was a good match. I actually heard it was good.
Yeah, but the crowd just utterly shit on it because it's an internet crowd that came to see NXT and they just kind of got dickish about it.
It's what they do.
But apparently Big Show was having fun with it. Because at some point in the middle of the match, Big Show kind of elbows Ryback off of him to stun him. Just get him down long enough to grab a mic and answer the chants. Because the big chant was, please retire. And Show gets on the mic and says, what do you mean retire? I've got 10 years left on my ironclad contract. Just to work the crowd a little bit. And then Ryback shell-shocks the shit out of him. Ryback heads off, and Show gets up, gets back on the mic, and says, 10 more years.
Supposedly that's either taped for the network or a possible NXT DVD that's coming out later this year.
Please let it be just for the network, because it's like, yeah, introducing our best of NXT DVD featuring Big Show and Ryback. Huh?
No, I don't think that. I don't think that match specifically. I think the show specifically was for the DVD.
Oh God, no! Please put it on the network. I don't want to have to wait until it comes out on DVD and pirate it.
Anyway.
I just remembered something you told me about that show. I need to find the results page so I can get it right.
What are you thinking? Because I remember some of the results.
I don't think it was listed in the results because he didn't mention it. He did mention that someone from the Vaudevillains might have gotten concussed, which I haven't seen any reports on, but I do know Gotch wrestled alone on the second show.
Right.
God, hang on.
Clicky click.
Here, oh my God. Stop clicking, just click link.
Stop typing.
Stop typing, there's link. I just found it.
Anyway. Oh my God, I got options now. Which site do I like best? He said the coolest part about the show was the fact they didn't advertise anything. Like, they didn't know who was going to come out in what order or what the matches were going to be. And when, like, Cesaro came out for the main event, everyone lost their shit because no one knew he was there.
No, they came out with surprises on that one.
Well, the whole night was really a surprise. Like, literally everything was...
Well, you knew who was going. You knew some of the people that were going to be there because they were promoting it via Twitter and stuff. But beyond that, locally, you probably had no idea who was going to be there.
Let's see. He just Baron Corbin actually had a personality as a heel.
What?
That was the most shocking thing to me. I can't remember who it was. But one of the problems with I want to say it was Zayn, but I. God, it doesn't seem like it was Zayn. God, I want to say it was Zayn or Balor or something. It's one of the top guys over in NXT. The stage they had, if you saw that video of Triple H giving the speech.
They had no room to walk.
Yeah, they would literally they'd come out from the stage, they'd walk off to the side of it, down to a set of steps, and then all the way back to the ring. Which apparently Finn Balor stretched his entrance out as long as it goes on TV, so I kind of want to see that. Because it's literally like 15 feet that they have to walk, and it somehow makes it last.
Just go very, very slow, very, very slow.
Yeah.
Baby steps, everybody. Baby steps.
Yeah. But someone, and God, I gotta get him to tell me it again. Someone actually, when the whole thing was done, oh, fuck, I know, it was Riley. Okay, because I made the, because I remember making this joke. After the match for Owens and Riley, Owens kind of walks off to the side where everyone else has been exiting. Riley tried to exit via... Riley tried to exit somewhere else. Like, he didn't exactly know where to go. So, almost like instinctually, he went to this curtained area and tried to open up the curtains and, you know, try and find a hallway. He grabs the curtains, opens it up. It's just a wall. But for some reason, he tries to walk through anyway.
Is he Matt Hardy or something?
I am the amazing Riley. Watch me walk through this brick wall.
I mean, Matt Hardy slaps tornadoes.
Like the way he described it, he described dying laughing, watching it. Like in one motion, just kind of whipped the curtain aside and right into the wall. Because he was expecting a hallway there.
Oh, Riley.
I was like, have you been away this long, Riley?
The answer is yes.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
God, this is hysterical.
So, I suppose we're done with Smojo for the moment. That was the topic about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, we're done with Smojo on that one.
All right, so we move on to the other negotiation drama that's currently going on in the WWE. Brock Lesnar.
Crybaby.
Having problems. Well, see, Rock poses these questions to us.
Only
Rock would pose these questions to us.
No, Tim Stein wrote these questions. This is not... Samoa Joe and Brock are not my topics, so let's go.
Really? Because this sounds exactly like something you'd put to us.
Nope, not me.
I will read this verbatim. What is the chance that this is what the business calls our work, to help get Reigns over. Internet speculation thinks maybe.
No, these were all Tim. Mine, the ones I put in this run sheet say reaction. Everything with a reaction, that's me. What do you guys think?
I think Lesnar's a bitch. Going home because he doesn't want to make $2 million working 15 dates.
This is sort of like the same type of thing I brought up when this first actually showed up was, I can understand it from both sides. Like, Vince is like, okay, we've given you two extremely big high-paid contracts to work very limited dates. If you want to continue with us, it's now time to take the pay cut. It's time to increase your dates a little bit. It's time to give back to the company that's now given to you.
And none of that has actually said anything.
We have absolutely no idea what part of the negotiation got the fight started.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like the two quick words going around is it's got mostly to do with the money offered and the time requested.
Well, it's kind of the two main parts of the contract. The other rumor going around was he wanted to do UFC at the same time.
Which I say go for it.
The whole backstory to this whole, and this is why there's a big blow-up. The Saturday before the blow-up, Frank Mir decided to challenge Brock Lesnar to a fight. And then they had the Monday meeting.
So Brock saw dollar signs.
Yeah.
Vince saw injuries. Okay.
Like, because Mir called him out on some show, and Brock got wind of it, and then WWE got wind of it. And, you know, they had their impasse on Monday.
To be fair, I don't think Dana White would allow it to go the other way either.
No, he wouldn't.
No.
I think there would have to be a gap in between saying, okay, you want to come, you can go back to WWE, but if you want to work with us,
you're not going to hire somebody and risk them getting injured in another contact sport.
Unless they keep Brock under a Legends deal and not have him as a performer. They could work that something like that out. But if he's under a performer contract, I don't think either side would allow it. Because it would take away credibility from UFC.
Right.
Oh, look, Brock, just give it up. Give up both of them and go back to trying it out for football again.
I want to rest it. I want to play football. And I want to be on the practice team. I want to beat people up.
I don't want to beat people up. I'm going back to the fake sport.
I don't want to beat people up for real. I want to beat up people for fake.
That guy has ADD, something shocking. But as for all this being some sort of work to help get Roman Reigns over, no.
Because it's totally getting him over.
Yeah, because it's It's because, you know, let's get Roman Reigns over by talking about his opponent. Okay. Because, you know, talking about Roman Reigns seems to have done wonders to get him over so far.
Because they believe. Oh, the whole reason. Go ahead.
People were chanting so much for Goldberg when they knew he was leaving for the NFL.
Right.
Oh, because, you know, that was such a great match for two guys who just didn't give a shit.
Match of the ages.
Where the referee is the most over man in the
game. Yeah.
At that night. No, the whole idea about it, like, they want to get him, you know, they think it's a work because it's going to get Roman cheered at WrestleMania because they think Brock's going to leave and he's leaving us and it's going to be internet crowd. And
they're still going to boo the shit out of Roman Reigns.
They're going to, yeah.
I'm sorry. It doesn't matter. You could turn around and say the day before the fight, Brock Lesnar ate 15 babies. They would still cheer Brock Lesnar over Roman Reigns.
Because because it's Brock Lesnar. He's a badass.
He's a UFC champion. He has his pre-fight ritual.
you could try and paint Brock Lesnar in this negative light however you want. It's not going to change the crowd reaction at WrestleMania.
No.
They're going to have to get used to the fact that the crowd that they're going to have at WrestleMania at the night after WrestleMania are going to be your hardcore crowd.
Yeah.
So guess what? You're going to have to accept the fact that Roman Reigns isn't going to be over for two nights. Especially if you put the belt on him, fuck, he's not going to be over.
Keep in mind, this is, especially the next night, because that's the crowd, like, the post-WrestleMania crowd is the kind of crowd that invented the Fandango.
It was also the one that started the Yes Movement.
They will do whatever the fuck they want, and there is no influencing it.
Yeah.
If Roman Reigns walks out with the WWE Championship and you haven't done a better job than you are now of making it convincing, dude's going to get the biggest heel heat of the night.
Oh, yeah. And look, you've got till, was it the 29th of March?
Something like that.
Yeah. So we've got 3 weeks before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
They still have 3 weeks to turn it around. They have 3 weeks to build Roman Reigns up. And here's the thing that I have been constantly pushing everywhere I've said this. Words aren't enough. Roman Reigns needs to stay away from the microphone and just punch people in the face.
Words don't matter, results do.
Exactly.
Which reminds me, he's now suffering his first losses of his singles career.
As he's the number one contender for the
world. As he's the number one contender, yeah. Which goes back to the nobody in WWE is allowed to look dominant, not even number one contenders. And certainly not your Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah, that just... Stupid. Stupid.
Okay. Mace, there's an image going around. There's an image going...
There's always an image going around.
Yeah. It's two pictures. It's like a rock from Pokemon, like that art style, and the Intercontinental belt. And the phrase under it is, one of these items prevents you from evolving while holding it. The other is an Everstone.
So true. so true.
Really is. I don't think Barrett's won a match since holding that belt.
No, not true. He beat Sin Cara.
Such a
wow!
After losing to Sin Cara the week before.
Wow.
That barely counts.
It's a win, isn't it?
God, it's a win over Sin Cara. God, I have a win over Sin Cara.
You probably
I have several wins over Sin Cara in WWE 2K15.
You probably have a win over Bad News Barrett too, Omega.
If he was the IC champion at the time, yes.
Oh, good God. And on that note, we're going to go to our second time out of the evening. You're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, supposedly, but we get sidetracked every 5 minutes. We'll be back after this.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with the Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply DaBomb.com.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on.
Why do you always get to end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer.
Let's do this.
Shut up. For the trunk, Rob Parks.
Why does Rob Parks do it?
We waited forever to for Rob to come back, and now you're not even gonna let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob.
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William S. McConnell, and for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh, wait.
I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big. Wow. I insulted myself real bad. Wow. Alright, well, everybody was listening to that, forget about it.
Forget.
Wow. God damn it, Jobber.
What I do?
Alright. I'm Rob Hunt, your godfather tree, for whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was.
Peace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live, midnight Eastern Time, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MVG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air, don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
You think you can tell us what to do?
Yeah.
You think you can tell us what to win?
Yeah.
You think you better?
Yeah.
Well, you better get ready to bow to the master.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X, and you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network. I've got two words for you. Suck it!
Putting my mind to a stop, beat my mind. I keep it rocking that bottom line. Suck it, two tears in the bucket.
One, two, is this on? Yo, Jimmy, hit me with that Triple H. Yeah, you let the music keep playing, Mr. Dunn. Yo, tell me whose time it is now.
And welcome back to WrestleTalk Radio, right here at WildTalkRadio.com. I am Mace, that's Omega, and we still have Rock here paying his, you know, weekly tribute to Triple H, because we know, as Rock likes to say, that's best for business.
It is best for business. It's the Triple H movement. WrestleMania season.
We're in business?
We are in business with the listeners.
We could be in business if we hired Vince Russo.
I don't want him up in my business.
He compared himself to Jesus. Let's move on.
No, I want to hear more about this.
Go read his
Twitter. Tell us the story, Rock.
Go read his Twitter.
God, the closest he's going to get to Jesus is if he puts two holes in his hands.
He was comparing himself to Jesus on Twitter. It's kind of amusing. Anyway.
Wow. Okay. I have no idea where to go for now. How about WWE paying Ring of Honor some money for some footage? Are we happy for this?
Sure, because it's not news.
Pretty much.
This is where I was like, okay, Tim, whatever. They're paying for Daniel Bryan footage. That's not like they haven't
which
done
which
it
Which footage they already used.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They paid a lot for Punk too. They paid money off for Punk footage for his DVD.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, cool. They're willing to reach out to Ring of Honor, and Ring of Honor's like, hey, we'll take your money.
Pretty much.
See, now that's best for business.
Yeah, Ring of Honor plays the game with them. They're not stupid. If they want footage, it's like, we have the footage. You give us money, you license it out. It's no biggie.
Exactly. But, you know, that it could be worse. They could be like Tommy Dreamer going, wah, people cost me money, wah. Well, maybe you shouldn't hire Rey Mysterio for $20,000.
Now, if anyone didn't see that one coming, him showing him House of Hardcore, you were blind. Cause I saw that a mile away.
It all belongs because ECW is Rey Mysterio's home. ECW got Rey Mysterio his green card. WCW got him his citizenship and his house and everything else. WWE paid off his fucking mortgage and gave him a really good lifestyle. ECW just smuggled him into the country in the back of a van.
And then WWE put his son up in a ladder match.
Yeah, that's stupid.
We want to complain about the writing these days.
I don't know. That's the thing, like, as much as we do complain about the writing these days, I go back and I watch stuff from, like, the Monday Night Wars era and, like, post-Monday Night Wars era as well, and I'm going, this is some stupid shit, yet people enjoyed this. And they hate everything that's happening now. It just goes to show, wrestling fans can never be happy.
No fans can ever be happy.
Yeah.
The bigger fan you are, the less happy you are.
So you must really hate Transformers.
I have a show all about abusing them.
Yeah, it's true. Speaking about abusing, Medusa's going into the Hall of Fame.
That was a horrible Tim Stein transition.
There's blunt force trauma there.
Hey, somebody has to try and do the Tim impression on this show.
Okay. Speaking of dropping shit in the garbage can, Medusa.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, sorry, we shouldn't be using Medusa, by the way. It's a Lundra Blaze.
It's a Lundra Blaze.
Yeah, you gotta remember, it's not Medusa, it's Alundra Blaze, just like it's not Scott Hall, it's Razor Ramon, and it's not Kevin Nash, it's Diesel.
God, this is the stupidest fucking thing. They're going into the goddamn Hall of Fame. Can you please, for the love of God, show some respect for the performer and put the performer in, not their character?
No. It's all about marketing.
It's all about the marketing, because now they can go and do retro t-shirts and make money off their names.
But, yeah, anyway, so actual reactions to Alundra Blaze going in?
I just yawned there. That counts.
Okay, that's fair enough.
I really don't care. She's top of the women's card back then. If she didn't drop a pink title belt into a garbage can, no one would remember her.
Yeah, it's true. Even when she was, the only match that people can remember of Alundra Blaze's was going up against Bull Nanako.
Nakano.
There you go. I butcher Japanese names. Woo! It's like...
Don't forget the classic against Bertha Fay.
I try to. I try to forget that Bertha Fay ever existed.
God damn it, Lawler. Where did Lawler dig these people up back then?
I have no
found
idea.
Found Bertha Fay. He found a 7-foot-tall psycho dentist.
It's called Memphis, Omega. Memphis.
Memphis is fucked up.
Memphis is full of great wrestling gimmicks. Yeah, I'm sorry. This is a squandered. Like, I know that they wouldn't want to put two people who have passed on in the same class, but fuck me, if there was any year that you were going to induct Miss Elizabeth into the Hall of Fame, it's this year. Putting her in with Randy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at this point, we can pretty much write off Miss Elizabeth ever going into the Hall of Fame.
Now, we said that about Randy, though, because it was such an obvious passover for so long. How many rumors started trying to speculate exactly why he was out for so long?
True.
You never say never in WWE.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. We were at one point discussing the possibility of a never for Alundra Blaze.
And Warrior.
But then again, it was more realistic of, we didn't exactly blame her for what happened. It was more on Bischoff.
See, in WWE logic, Elizabeth going in at the same time as Macho doesn't draw as well as people going, well, where's Elizabeth? We want Elizabeth. And then inducting her next year. Because now you've drummed up interest by seemingly ignoring her.
Yeah, it's true. As long as they don't go the stupid route and induct Lex Luger in the same year.
Oh, God.
I can tell you this, Lex Luger is probably not going into the WWE Hall of Fame in the next decade.
Good.
let's be fair. Lex was never what they wanted him to be.
Then again, I can't say that because Rikishi's going in, so...
this is the year of... If you ever thought these people would ever have a chance in the Hall of Fame, you are fucking wrong.
This is the transition year because they have big names coming.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for this damn WCW year they keep rumoring.
No, the internet keeps rumoring. It's not WWE, it's the internet rumor. Remember this.
But, man, this year is just the what-the-fuck year, isn't it?
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm including Randy Savage in that, too. The fact that he's actually getting inducted was a what-the-fuck moment. Then you've got Alundra Blaze, you've got Rikishi, you've got the Bushwhackers.
The Bushwhackers still get me.
This is the what-the-fuck year. And I'm sure they're not even done. I'm sure there's more to come.
No, there's one more name left, and we all know who it is. Because it's out in the magazine they put out already.
Yeah, great idea.
Good job.
Great communication with your magazine department there at WWE.
I thought the magazine got destroyed anyway.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
It's not the WWE magazine. It's one of the collector things for WrestleMania. The Ultimate Guide or whatever they put out.
Well, Mace knows from comic books, so those have to be solicited so far in advance that some things just are going to get spoiled.
Yeah, 3 months in advance. This is what's currently keeping my wallet going. Why don't I have money? So Medusa's a big fat what the fuck in a pile of what the fuck.
The girls seem happy, so.
There really? Is that.
They're all on Twitter, all excited that she's going in. So,
I'm sure that there could have been plenty of other divas or female wrestlers out there that could have been put in instead.
Molly Holly, Mickey. No, can't do Mickey James because she's sort of with TNA.
See, Mickey James is one that I'd like to see go in, but there's contractual issues.
And she'll eventually go in. Could have inducted Michelle McCool. You could have inducted.
No, we couldn't have inducted Michelle McCool.
Kelly.
Candace Michelle.
I'm pretty sure the IWC would collectively shit themselves if she went in before Undertaker.
Oh, I know. No, the Divas Battle Royal from WrestleMania 25 is currently on the WWE Network, and that's what I have on. So I'm just looking at the people in the Battle Royal.
Can we induct Santina?
Sadly, no. I don't think we can induct Santino.
Boo earns.
Let's induct Mr. Sacco.
You know what?
Celebrity induction for next year, Mr. Sacco. Actually, to be honest, with the celebrity induction, I heard a really good case the other day for Sylvester Stallone.
Make the case.
Well, you take a look at how. Well, you just take a look at Rocky III and the publicity that got the then WWF with Hulk Hogan being a part of that movie and everything, the mainstream buzz that came because of that. That helped a lot of that year. I believe that was WrestleMania... Was that WrestleMania 3?
What year was it? I'm
trying to remember off the top of my head.
It was either 3 or 4, maybe.
Yeah, it was like, it was in those early years, but I just sort of, there was a column that I was reading online, and it was just interesting to see. Rocky III was 1982, so.
Yeah, a little too ahead of the game then.
Yeah. So we're way ahead of the game, so we're like 3 years ahead of WrestleMania 1. Okay, so you take a look at that as basically helping Hulk Hogan becoming the big star that he is.
It sort of defeats the case.
Before he went and ruled in the 90s with, Suburban Commando, Mr. Nanny, and everything else.
Hey, do you remember what happened the last time we invoked Rocky III in the Hall of Fame?
I can't remember, but please enlighten me.
Mama, Jesus, Mama.
Oh, yeah.
Which is in a nice transition. There are all the Hall of Fames are on WWE Network right now.
Oh, that's good. I might have to go back and watch a couple of them later.
They have the full induction speeches from every year. So, except for the ones that weren't televised. They're not up, but everything else that's been televised.
Boo, I want to see The Rock's 45-minute induction of his father.
No, I mean the years it wasn't televised, the actual Hall of Fame. In the early 90s.
I thought you... Okay.
No, but they have the full, long things in there.
But the thing is, with the one with Rocky Johnson going in, is it the full speech with The Rock droning on and on and on, and then JBL giving him shit afterwards?
Possibly, I would assume it is.
Okay, I'll have to go check that. That was quite amusing. Held up broadcasts on that was the first year WWE tried streaming the Hall of Fame.
Right.
And they taped the bit that gets shown on USA first. And because The Rock droned on and on and on, it kept delaying the live broadcast for the rest of the show. And the first thing you get when the stream started up was JBL giving The Rock shit about forgetting the main phrase in wrestling, go home, meaning wrap it the fuck up. But yeah. Speaking about things online, did we all watch the video of the kid basically doing moves on, I'm guessing, his girlfriend, sister, or female friend into a pool recently?
Girlfriend, apparently. It was.
Girlfriend? Okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, supposedly people are up in arms over this being dangerous.
The only two spots that look dangerous were the RKO and the Tombstone. Like, you'd be nuts to do those two.
The RKO is nasty because water tension is still a bitch when you're laid out flat.
And have
you ever done a belly flop?
And she took she looked uncomfortable taking that RKO because she barely stretched out for it.
Yeah. I had problems with three moves. Two of them we've already started, the RKO and the Tombstone. The other one I had was the powerbomb. Only because unless you know how to correctly take a back bump, that thing is dangerous as fuck. And when you do a proper back bump on water, like Omega said, have you ever done a belly flop?
Mm-hmm.
That shit stings like a motherfucker when you take a proper back bump into the pool.
Right.
And the fact that he did the Dudley style sit down powerbomb, oh god no.
And to answer your question from before, Mace, the Rocky Johnson Hall of Fame one is 4 hours long, so I would assume it's an entirety. So
sweet. But yeah, that Tombstone though, that's a dangerous move normally.
Yeah.
And to do it into a pool where not only do you have a chance of being very disorientated when you go under the water, the way he let her go, she landed straight on top of her head, which has the potential, even with it being water, to do neck damage. You see, there's a reason why they say don't do this shit at home.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my biggest complaint of it. Like, everybody I've seen commenting on these videos, because it's been shared a million times around Facebook and everything, everybody's like, oh man, that's so cool, that's this, that, and the other. I'm like, no, that's fucking dangerous.
That's the first thing I thought of when I saw it. I was like, dangerous, 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 dangerous. You're an idiot for even thinking of doing it. You're an idiot, you're an idiot, you're an idiot.
To be honest, the safest one in that entire video, even though she didn't post for it, was the trick slam.
Yeah.
That was the safest one, and I can tell you from experience because I do that on my little brother.
Right, and if they're, you know, they're bright.
But then again, I'm also trained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just one of those things of, like, I look at it and I'm like, okay, this is a prime example of don't do it at home. And I'm surprised that the WWE hasn't sort of jumped on trying to get this off YouTube.
The thing is, there's so many things like that on YouTube right now.
True. I notice he does it like a public.
Yeah, it's a whole. It's what the kids call a thing.
Yeah, it's a whole thing, which is pretty fucking pathetic, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, I've seen worse videos involving wrestling this week. One was from a UK promotion. And I had a guy, I'm guessing this was like a post-match thing, a female, either a valet or a wrestler or something, she was on her knees, she takes a chair shot to the head,
mm-hmm.
does the one arm across the forehead cover,
mm-hmm.
and then straight from there, the guy picks her up and gives her a razor's edge, but like piffs her all the way across the ring. She slides underneath the turnbuckle and actually gets knocked out for a couple of seconds.
Mm.
So, you know, it's like, wait, great, fucking moron. But again, I try to bring logic into that one, and people just won't fucking listen.
Logic?
What's yeah, that? I know. I state the case. Like, I watch the way that she covers up for the chair shot. She takes the brunt of it on the top of her shoulders and on her arm. That's actually a pretty good cover, because she ducked her head right underneath her arm. The problem that... the problem was the razor's edge. Because the guy either pumped up on adrenaline, just forgot his own strength, mm-hmm. or he miscalculated how much she weighed, and instead of just throwing her forward slightly so she can do a proper back bump, she's gone flying across the ring. That was a goddamn mistake.
Yeah.
And everybody's going, oh my god, it's abuse. No, it's not. Women train with men in wrestling all the fucking time. It's not a secret. She knew what she was getting into.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, alright, it's about that time we do some debating.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
You at home can play along with us. Go to WrestleTalkRadio.com right now, and you can look at the whole brackets we're doing. Up first, the Pedigree takes on the Chokeslam. Omega.
Is it being done into a pool of water?
No. Jell-O.
Now I have to think about this.
If you'd like to call into the show, it's 267-297-1397, or you can Skype me right now. There's your hint.
I'm now hung up on what would be the more delicious move to take into a pool of Jell-O. Do you want to go face first with the Pedigree, or do you want to sort of just fall back into it?
No. No, what you do is you do white Russian leg sweeps, that way you have Jell-O shots.
well played, sir, well played.
Well, since it's Triple H night, I'm going to go Pedigree.
And why are you going Pedigree?
The Chokeslam, good move for a big man. Mm-hmm. Okay, done right, it looks impressive. Unfortunately, the big guys we got now doing it don't quite have the same athleticism, so a lot of their guys don't quite get the height they used to. Mm-hmm. More than that, it's such a basic move that never comes across as a pro wrestling move to me.
Hmm.
You know, because you're taking a guy by the throat, pick them up, slam them down. It's something you could do in a bar fight. The Pedigree with trapping the arms. Someone's got an echo now.
Oh, well, we're trying to get rid of it. All right, keep going.
To trap the arms and drive someone's head into the mat from what is traditionally a power bomb setup. It's a nasty looking move. Mm-hmm. Like that's like proper pro wrestling finisher to me, because it looks like there's technique to it and it looks like it hurts like hell and there's some actual logic to how it's used and how it's set up.
Right. One for the Pedigree Mace.
Yeah, we're going to make it two for the Pedigree. As much as the Trick Slam can be a really good move, it does require someone of big height and size in order to make it look impressive. you know, you take a look at the way Kane delivers it now and The Undertaker delivers it now, they basically use it as a setup. You know, the Big Show used to use it as a finish, and it looked impressive as fuck when it was in WCW. When he went to the WWE, it just looked crap because he stopped putting effort. Whereas the pedigree, no matter which way you do it, it looks impactful, looks dangerous. It looks like exactly what Omega said. It is a wrestling finish.
So there you go. Would our caller like to chime in on this discussion?
Gonna do you a lot. It's me. Ha ha ha. Sure. Like, as both TJ and Omega, TJ and Mesa says that, my
There's
bad.
Only one
I'm
of
sorry.
Me.
Who knows? Today you sound like there's two of you. You're in two different places. Brain is dead and bodies can talk. But, I guess, yeah, you're right. The pedigree is a move of just like, when he sets it up for it and does it, it finishes the move. That's the end of the match. Like, and sure, but we've seen the choke slam so many times done by so many different people. It's sort of lost. It's sort of like, wow, this is an impactful move versus like Triple H is the only guy who actually does the pedigree and it looks nasty. It's a nasty face bump and it's just, yeah, pedigree is such an impactful move.
So the pedigree will move on to in our all time greatest discussion. Oh, all right then.
So, I believe that was the new model Toyota is available in the parking lot.
No, it's the kids just saying that lunchtime's nearly over and I'm supposed to actually be doing my job. But anyway, I can talk because I'm on lunch break.
Giddy bro. I hate to be rude, man, but we're going to have to let you go. There's so much background noise
yeah.
with all the kids rolling past.
Yeah, can't hear anything.
No worries.
Yeah.
No worries.
Sorry, Matt. We'll talk to you another time.
Yeah.
No worries. Cheers.
And as we hang up on it, got really clear. oh, the funs of phone calls and anything. Anyway, Stone Cold Stunner, sweet shit music. Omega.
Fuck. I don't know, this feels like two of this should make it to the final eight all by their own. See, if you'd said super kick, this would be easy, because the stunner is this quick move. It is, again, it is a straight up wrestling move. It's quick to hit. It looks like it works. It's essentially just like a sit out ace crusher. But you put it against sweet chin music, and that adds a different layer of showmanship to it. Mm-hmm. I fucking love the sweet chin music. God damn it. These are two moves that shouldn't have been put this close into the brackets.
Well, they weren't.
Yeah, they were. Shut up, pick.
Deal with it, yo.
Just deal with it. You could have said something, but no, you don't say anything. So.
I will go for showmanship and versatility, since it can be hit faster in more ways than the stunner can. See, Shelton Benjamin, who probably still has a permanent dent in his chin. I will go sweet chin music.
Miss.
I'm gonna go the other way. I'm gonna go with the stunner.
Okay.
For me, sweet chin music, you strip away the theatrics, and what do you got? A super kick. You know what you see every day in Ring of Honor? 7,000 super kicks! You know what you don't see every day in most wrestling places? The stunner. Why? Because people have respect for the man who gave it.
But everyone was doing super kicks before sweet chin music. I mean, Stevie
and
Ray...
And they continue to do it afterwards.
Yeah, Stevie Ray was throwing it. But there's a reason that it's sweet chin music. And it's not just a super kick.
It essentially is just a super kick, Omega. Don't try to fool me otherwise. I'm going with the stunner. Shut the fuck up.
Now, to back up Omega's point, it's the greatest super kick of all time. It's Sweet Chin Music. There is no debate. Sweet Chin Music moves on.
Thank you.
Whores.
It's a weird argument you made.
Just because two out of three people on this panel tonight have interviewed Shawn Michaels, biased motherfuckers.
This is where I pull out his awesome book, Wrestling for My Life. You can hear it. Yeah. Sweet Chin Music moves on.
It was weird you brought up the ROH, because the other night I got linked to a stream for ROH. Right before a literal super kick fest match. And every time there was a super kick, whatever time it was a super kick, one of the commentators had an orgasm over it.
Anyway, next week on the show, it is the GTS versus the Jackhammer. And the Crossface Chicken Wing takes on the Texas Cloverleaf next week on the All-Time Greatest.
Impact versus Impact and Submission versus Submission.
Yeah.
That actually sounds interesting. What the fuck are we doing?
That was the other part of it. I got a big laugh at out of the NXT show. Because Itami got as far on the GTS as pushing the guy up and about ready to let him fall to the knee before he got cut off again. And it made me feel bad because, like, the guy invented the move and he can't even use it because of CM Punk.
No, I think he'll be able to use it. I think they're just waiting to use it.
But he'll never get... As soon as he does it, it's going to cause the CM Punk shit to go nuts.
Omega?
No.
Omega? Monday Night Raw. They were still chanting his name. It doesn't matter.
And, you're just going to make it worse, though. I thought of the better thing to do. Give Itami the Pepsi plunge.
Yeah, but that means having to do something that belongs to Triple H. There's a big difference between taking something off CM Punk and taking something off Triple H.
But honestly, at this point, I'm sure Triple H would be happy to put one over on CM Punk like that.
It is possible.
Even if it's just one match.
Yeah, even if he just does it once to kind of rub it in Punk's face. You know, well, you took his move. We're going to let him use your move. The one that we wouldn't let you use. So fuck you.
He should deliver it to Heyman just for the exclamation point.
Anyway, it's time to wrap this show up with Crickets.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Your first question this evening is listener submitted. You've been warned.
Is it to both of us or one of us?
For both of you.
Oh, God.
All right, so we'll start with Mace. Mace, what wrestling theme would you have as your wedding theme song?
Stupid thing is...
The end is here.
No, the thing is... I can get away with this only because it was used at WrestleMania. The opening for Whom the Bell Tolls by Metallica. Triple H used it at WrestleMania, it's going to count as a wrestling theme.
But if I go on the network and try to watch it, no, it didn't happen. It doesn't exist.
Hey, I remember what happened back then. I have the original footage.
Back in your day.
Yeah, when, you know, we got by with pirating everything.
Omega, same question.
wrestling song at my wedding? God, this is annoying because it feels like there should be a clever answer. I'm a little bit worse. I'm a little bit sappier than that. And the thing is,
Undertaker's theme, the Death March.
Oh yeah, Psycho Sid's theme. Honestly, it would. Part of me is thinking like actually using Billy and Chuck's theme, but without the homosexual video attached to it. So it's just this kind of like soft rock love song.
There you go. Maze, you have a point?
I actually had this thing, like, if I had actual control over my own wedding, because let's face it, no male will ever have control over their own wedding. I would actually have the reception start with Mean Gene, no, not Mean Gene.
Howard Finkel.
Howard Finkel doing the introduction of the wedding party.
I've seen that.
Complete with individual music. Yeah, so have I. Some of them have been shit, but I just want, like, instead of them overplaying it like a lot of people have done when they've had him do the announcing, just actually do a proper, like, standard walkouts for each individual member of the bridal party.
Now, for point of reference, we were talking about those clips last night as we were playing Cards Against Humanity, and that's how this question came about.
Ah, you guys and your goddamn cards.
Oh.
Which I didn't get to because my alarm went off, and apparently the alarm wasn't loud enough to wake me up.
Oops. Mace, would you rather have accordions for legs, or have a huge belly button 10 inches long that sway to the beat of popular music?
Wow.
What kind of Weird Al head trip is this?
Considering either way I'm going to be annoying the shit out of people with some form of music, I might as well go the whole hog and go the accordion legs.
Okay.
At least then I can dance and be a weirdo with Al Poker.
There you go. Omega, would you rather have a vagina on your forehead or a row of penises down your back like a stegosaurus?
What drugs did you guys on last night?
This has nothing to do with last night. I found these online.
Oh, God. See, the vagina wouldn't be so bad because, you know, like, a hat or a bandana could cover that up. Mm-hmm. Though, see, it rules out headbutting for the rest of my life.
Do you do a lot of headbutting?
Depends on which family member I have to deal with that week. Okay, so it's like dicks down the back like a stegosaurus.
Yes.
Anything that puts me closer to a dinosaur is kind of cool. But how the fuck would I, like, you know what? It's going to be the vagina on the head just because I'm trying to think, like, I wouldn't be able to get to sleep because I'd roll over and crush like a dozen dicks.
Yeah, you probably would.
I don't like putting the one I have in danger.
Yeah.
So there you have it. That was Quick Hits for another edition of Russell Talk Radio.
Now I have to wonder what would have been the question Tim would have gotten.
Tune in next week and find out.
Good.
Tomorrow night is the Rob Post Show. Will the Gong toll it, if I can speak. Tomorrow night, we'll talk about it. Raw Pro Show, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern. Thursday night, it is The Rack at 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk NXT, SmackDown, and all the news you can handle. It's The Rack. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Follow the show on Twitter at WTRTheRack. Facebook.com/WTRTheRack. Go to RackRadioShow.com. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, YouTube.com/WTRTheRack. Check out The Rack Extra Season 3, Episode 18, now available. Episode 19 and 20 will be available at different points this coming week, because apparently Sheamus is involved with Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella's sex life, so you don't want to miss it. It's The Rack Extra. Saturday night, midnight edition of CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR, Facebook.com/cigarette butts and bandanas, CBRadioLive.com is the website, #BlameRob. We'll be back next Sunday night for another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night, Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. You can follow me on Twitter at WallTalkRadio, Facebook.com/WallTalkRadioNetwork. Get us on TuneIn, iTunes, and Stitcher. Just search out WallTalkRadioNetwork. Mace.
You can follow me on Twitter at TheMaceSing. You can also follow what I do over at YouTube at youtube.com/WTRGamesGarage, where my last review was for Dragon Ball Xenoverse, which I now regret absolutely doing because the game has turned into absolute shit the longer I play it. But I gave it a pretty good review, mainly because Omega said I couldn't. As for what's coming up on that one, I have no idea. Probably Mortal Kombat will be the next one at some point next month, because I like killing people.
I should also mention, go to WildTalkRadio.com, read a blog column thing I wrote about the Intercontinental Championship. More blogs, column thingies, whatever you want to call them, coming soon. Omega.
My stuff is found at the usual places. If you're on Facebook, it is TJ Reviews. If you're on Twitter, it is TJ Omega. It is also TJ Omega over on YouTube. It is also TJOmega.org on the internets. I am all over the place.
You are. Are you still selling?
He is the internets.
Are you still selling stuff on the eBays?
I am still selling stuff on the eBays because shit is going to get real expensive this month.
So follow him on the Twitters and find out how to buy stuff on the eBays?
Yes. Yeah, find out how to buy stuff on the eBays, because you can't just find that shit out anywhere.
He will give you this step by step, or he'll link you to an e-how. Either way.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully Tim Stein's back next week, but this show will be back next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, along the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network. For Mason Omega, I'm Rock. See you all week long along the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Only on WildTalkRadio.com.
Wildtalkradio.com.